Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right. Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya wal Mursaleen. اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم الصلاۃ والسلام علیک یا رسول اللہ وعلى آلك واصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك واصحابك يا نور الله ما شاء الله. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to our program Tonight with Madani Channel. And we've got a very important topic, such a topic that I was talking to a few brothers the other day. And, you know, this is sadly creeping up into the Muslim Ummah as well. So we thought it was important that we talk about this topic and we highlight these things so that inshallah Azawajal, our Muslim Ummah can keep away from them as well. Let me introduce our guest, mashallah Azawajal, Tawfiq Bhai. Alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you, Tawfiq Bhai? You okay?
Alhamdulillah.
Jazakallahu khairan, mashallah, for taking time out. The topic of today is going to be superstition. Now, these are common things, and I will mention a few things of them. I know it's going to bring a smile to you as well that, yeah, we believe in them as well. But before we go into the topic, let me just tell you a real story about this topic we're going to be discussing today. There was a king, and one day the king, he said to his close ministers that he wants to go hunting in the morning. So early morning, the king wakes up, gets his army together, and he gets his ministers, and they all go hunting. Now, when the people find out that the king is about to go hunting, everyone wants to see a glimpse of the king. So they all line up, and the king walks along, and everyone is looking at the king. Now, the king also, he wasn't a really good person. You know, he was a very bad person. He was a very cruel person as well. Now, the king, instead of smiling and thanking Allah Ta'ala that he's given him this post, he was there, you know, with a lot of, me inside him, a lot of anger. And as he was going past all these people who were lined up, he sees an old man. He's blind and he can't see. Now, when this person is walking in front of the king, you know, the king really gets angry that who is this person? You know, who's walking in front of my entourage. And the king suddenly, he says that because of him, I'm not going to have a good day today. You know, because he called him a manhoos. We say that many times. Oh, yara fulam manhoos banda. I met him today. You know, I don't think my work's going to go proper today. So this king, he shouted out to that person. He goes, you blind person, get out of my way. You know, I'm going to go hunting today and I guarantee you that I'm not going to find anything. And he says that why did he walk in front of me? I'm going to punish him. So what he did was he asked the soldiers that tie him with a rope and make him stand in this hot burning sun. When we come back, we'll deal with him later. The army grabs hold of him and they tie him to a pillar in the hot burning sun. And the king goes, and when he hunts, he hunts a lot of animals and rabbits and all that, and he hunts better than in normal days. So he comes back and he sees this blind person. And now the king is deciding what to punish him with. And the blind person, he recognized the king and he says, oh king, tell me, am I the manhoos person or are you the manhoos person? Because you saw me in the morning and you were so successful today in your hunting. So I'm not manhoos, it's you are manhoos. Now the king at that time, he feels ashamed of himself. And he says that, go, let this person free because I did have a good day today. Now, this is Tawfiq Bhai. A lot of people say that as well. Yara, I met that person, or this car crossed my path. And, you know, people are superstitious and they just turn back home. Or they think that it's because of that person, my businesses are doing well.
Gee. Hafsa, before I mention this, just want to add something to the incident that you just mentioned. That young man who came in the way of this king, it's mentioned in the narration that he was a one-eyed person. So one-eyed probably means he was blind from one other side. And when he replied back, you know, on the return journey of the king, that is it me who is manhoos, or is it me who's the bad omen, or is it you? In this, he said that when I saw you, so my first gaze at you was bad for me. That in the hot, scorching day, I had to be, you know, I was tied up with the ropes, and I had to, you know, bear all that heat difficulty and because of you. Whereas you saw me, and because of me, you had a really nice time. You had the best of times, you know, in the hunting. So in that particular scenario, he mentions that who is the bad omen. Regarding our topic today, if you look at the different traditions, regardless of which faith people follow, in fact, people from different faiths, different customs, different cultures, they have their own traditions with regards to omens. Yeah, and the good side of it, the positive side of the shugun is called fal. So in Arabic, the word is fal. In English, you can say good omen. And if you look at the concept of it, what happens, a person, he sees something or he hears something, regardless of it, if it's a person, if it's an animal, if it's a place, or it's an object, he makes an assumption about his own future. So I've seen this, like you mentioned early on, you know, if someone's crossing the way, and because of that, he's now believing that I'm going to have a bad luck today. It's going to become, it's going to be really bad for me. Overall, you know, if you look at the tradition, it's not new thing. It's a very ancient thing. People have been following these things from generations to generations, from centuries to centuries. And what's happened, sometimes Muslims, because they live in a wider community, with the wider communities, what happens, other practices come in our cultures as well. And this is one of them. Sometimes, you know, whilst the viewers are watching this as well, they'll probably think, no, we don't really believe in this. Yeah, we don't have a concept of bad shugun. We just carry on as normal. But sometimes, you know, this bad shugun, it becomes like a belief. Yeah, and they have a very, they're very strong about this. You know, for example, if in your house, you know, you're watching, you're looking in the mirror and it broke, or it was a broken mirror and now you looked at your own image at the broken mirror. Now, there are people or the religions who have a concept that if you see yourself in a broken mirror, that means there's going to be a problem in your life.
You're going to break up as well.
You're going to break up. It could be marriage. It could be, you're going to have a major issue in your life. And that's their belief. And regarding the bad omens or bad shugun, you know, we have to understand, what does Islam say about this? That's the first thing that we have to look at. You know, what is the real concept of tiyara or bad shugun, or calling something manhus? What is the concept? The rule is, in Islam, there is no concept of bad omens. That is something very important to keep in mind.
We shouldn't believe in any of them.
Yeah, we have to. These thoughts can come, due to the cultural thing where you live in that society. Thoughts can come into your mind, but not, the thing is, you have to go against it now.
But what happens is, the main reason is because it takes that trust of Allah Azza wa Jal, the belief in Allah Ta'ala, away from yourself.
Yeah, that is the real concept. What bad shuguni does, it makes you weak. Yeah, it makes you fearful. It makes you, you know, a coward, you can say. It makes you weak inside. That you don't have that trust in Allah anymore. You don't, or even if you have the trust in Allah, but it weakens your iman. And the opposite of this, which is good omens or nek fal, or nek shugun, we can normally call it, there are blessings in that. Yeah, you know, there are narrations, there are waqiyat, incidents mentioned that it is mustahab, it is desirable, it is proven from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to take good omens. An example of that could be, for example, you're about to leave for a journey, and just before you left the journey, a very pious man, someone you look up to, respected personality, came to you, and he came to you with a smile. Yeah, and he met you before you left, and that you could take that as a message from Allah, that this person who came, you know, with a glad tiding, with a smile on his face, inshallah, I hope in the mercy of Allah that this journey will become a pleasure for me. I will have success in this journey. So having a positive frame of mind upon things, that's a good thing. Yeah, but again, going back to the bad shugun, because that's our topic today. Inshallah, later part we'll discuss the good side of it as well. But bad shugun in detail, let's give another example. If you look at the examples that we're going to discuss today, sometimes we don't really realize that we believe these or not. But they do exist in our communities.
But they do, yes.
There are many things, and the thing is, we need to play a role as a family, as individuals, as a community, to get rid of these things. Because they, if you look at their stem, where do these root from? Where do they originate from? They have a different concept. They come from a different belief system. Gee. They come from a different culture. And those actions don't, you know, fit in with the teachings of Islam.
You know, like you mentioned a few things, Tawfiq, is because, you know, we live in at a time, or we all come from a background where, you know, our family, our pious predecessors, you know, alhamdulillah, when they came into Islam, they used to live with the non-believers. Now, some of the things that we take from them is, you know, they're still continuing today. Like, people won't get married in the month of Safar. People who do not get married in the month of Muharram. Why? Because they think it's a bad thing. You'll be cursed if you do so. This will happen. And if we live in this society, you know, we grew up that, you know, in that kind of sense that we used to go to school and we used to say, oh, if a black cat crosses your path, then that's it. You're going to have a bad day. Or sometimes if someone's angry, people used to say, you know, he came off from the wrong side of the bed today. That's why he's doing that. So all these kind of things, they take that trust or the belief that whatever comes from is from Allah. That is taken away. Like, people believe in horoscopes, you know, and sadly, you know, I know of families that they look at the horoscopes and they say, oh, it's not going to be good, you know. I don't even know the names, you know, Sagittarius or something like that, or all the stars as well, or it's not good for you. These things are not Islamic.
People are parrots,
yeah,
where they tell you what your future is going to be.
Parrots. Yeah.
You know, especially in the Asian culture, people go to the stalls where there's a man there, he's got a parrot in front of him, there's loads of play cards there, and person comes to ask about his marriage issues. So what's written for me? And then the parrot will walk around and it will just peek, you know, it'll poke at something. And when you turn that card away, it'll have like an answer for that person. And people believe in these things.
Gee.
You know, if you look at it from a different angle, if there was any truth in this, then why would that person who's got a parrot stall, why is he still there, you know, on the streets? Why did he not become a millionaire?
It was a football match or the cricket match, and people were going to these kind of people. They're going to predict the future. If they could predict the future, like you said, why are they not millionaires? Why are they not having a good luxury life? And they're still living in, you know, in small houses and all that kind of stuff.
If you look at a deeper point of view, if someone has that strong belief in these bad omens, you know, in a way, you know, he's having that mindset that these different actions or these different objects, they can affect his own future.
Gee.
So the being is Allah Almighty, who can change things for you. And, you know, believing something else other than Allah that can affect your lifestyle, your future, can change things for you, that's to do with your iman.
Very good.
You know, we believe as a Muslim, we believe in destiny. We believe in good and bad destinies from Allah.
Qadr, we believe
Qadr,
in.
Yeah. And in this, those people who believe in bad omens, their faith in Qadr gets weakened.
Gee.
And it's important to refute this, to go against these wishes. If you look at the practices of the Sahaba Ikram, the Awliya Ikram, the great Muslims, you know, whenever these things, like I said, they existed at that time as well. Yeah. What the scholars used to do, what the pious people did at that time, that whenever something came up and someone mentioned like a concept of a bad omen, then they made sure that the thing that individual is stopping you from, they made sure they did that.
Gee.
I'll give an incident that's come to that is front of me here. When Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu intended to travel to take part in a battle, during that period, someone who was a fortune teller, he came in the way and he said, "O Amir al-Mu'mineen, O leader of believers, don't go." And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "Why not?" And he said that this particular time that you're about to take this journey, this time the moon is in scorpion, is in a particular shape, and this is not a good sign. If you go now, you will be defeated. So that sign, that time, you know, it is indicating that you are going to lose in this battle. Yeah, so therefore, don't go, don't leave this particular place. Now, regarding this, when Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu heard these words, he replied, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq and Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhuma did not believe in these things. Yeah, did not believe in the bad shugan, bad omens, and in fact, trusting in Allah, and they ordered to go against this. So what Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that now it becomes more important for me that because I trust in Allah and I have to prove this wrong, so now I am going to travel.
Subhanallah.
And the history proves that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu set out on that journey, took part in that battle, and alhamdulillah, he came as victorious.
Subhanallah.
MashaAllah, Tawfiq Bey was very beautiful kind of summarizing where this comes from. And in essence, what has happened is over time in different cultures and different societies, people have picked up these things, these superstitions, which they have believed in. And most of the time, what it is a weakness in Iman. And it's a weakness in your thought process where, rational thinking.
Gee.
We base our society on rational and logical thinking. So anything that happens, we will try and analyze it and say, well, that happened because this X, Y, and Z. Or I want to achieve this, or I have to go down this route of A, B, and C. When it comes to the superstition, there is no rational basis for it. And normally, as rational human beings, we will not accept anything that's irrational. Yeah. So if I say something that doesn't make sense, you will straight away say it. But how the shaitan works is very clever. So even though if I made a statement that was outrageous, you know, say I've just flown in, yeah. You say how can that be? How could you have flown in? You know, you must have come by your car. You won't believe me. Yet with these superstitions, we base our life around them. So people, like you say, you know, they cancel their journeys because of black cat crosses, things like that. And they have so many of these superstitions that over time have gradually become ingrained. Some of these actually, and as Muslims, we should be very aware of this, were corrupt religious beliefs of other religions. So they had, and there are a lot of religions in the world who have these corrupt beliefs. So that if this happens, that happens. If a goat comes, it means this. If a cow comes, it means that. And as Muslims, unfortunately, we've started to accept it. So, you know, the old, as we were growing up in school, magpies. You see one and it's this, and you see two and it's good looking. You see three and it's this and that. And as a child, it was almost like instilled into us until, you know, alhamdulillah, the Madani environment of Dawat Islami dispelled us and said, look, no, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam forbade this, and you should not be believing in superstition. And so we've based our society. I mean, the biggest one that I often come across, and people ask this question of the Ulama Ikram as well, you must have come across that one. It's the favorite one. And they say, well, Aj Sajiyya, you know, it's the right one today. Does it mean I'm going to get good luck? And it's the left one today. Does it mean bad luck? And they live their life. And then, unfortunately, on a serious note as well, a lot of our youngsters these days, what they're looking at is stargazing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they get these newspapers and so-called, you know, Islamic newspapers as well, or published in Islamic countries, have a section, and it used to be hidden away in the pages. So right at the bottom of page 6 or 7, there was these star signs. It shouldn't be there. It's haram. Yeah. But now, because of the popularity of them, they're stuck on the front page.
Yeah.
Do you know, you remember in the old times when you have the English Urdu newspapers, and on the top corner used to have an Ayah Mubarakah of the glorious Quran, and then they used to do the translation and everything else. I mean, that was a difficult one as well, because basically the akhbars were left on the floor and everything else. So you go off to it. Lekin, now that's been replaced as we're moving towards the Dore Fitans and getting closer to the signs of Qiyamah. Now, that's been replaced by these star signs. And a lot of our youngsters, even if they don't have time to read the newspaper, they'll want to read the star signs.
I think one of the important things Tawfiq Bey mentioned was that it's taking the belief of you believing in Allah Ta'ala away from you. Because we believe in the Qadr. وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. You know, that every good and bad is from Allah. Now, when you start to believe in these kind of things, then your belief in Allah Ta'ala is weakened now.
It's an easy way out. Let me give you a comparison, and alhamdulillah on Madni channel we don't pull our punches, we say it as it is. The shara'it that Ala Hazrat has given for a Kamil Piro Murshid are there. Now, the reason that a lot of people are attracted to the fake sheikhs is this, that it's easy. When you go to a fake sheikh, he says, 100 quid, I've done dua, you're janti. Don't need to do anything. When you go to a Pir-e Kamil, a man of Allah Azza wa Jal, what does he do? He says, Putar, you know, you're getting difficulties. Sunnat-e Rasul Dari Rakhu. Have you read and prayed Fajr today? If you haven't, do Tawbah of everything you, all the namazah you've missed, all the salahs you've missed. And not only Tawbah and start from today, but you have to do Qaza as well. You know, if you've missed any fast of Ramzan, you have to do Qaza. You have to look after your parents. You have to be patient. You can't backbite. You can't lie. You can't, but the money, you can't do this. Mm-hmm. So you come back with a whole host of things. You come back, you know, you go to Bab al-Madinah, you come back with the Madani Namad card with 72 Madani Nams on it that reform your life. Now it's tough. But, you know, so when you have a choice, what you do is you think, it's easier paying 100 quid. At least he's not telling me to do anything. It's either, okay, he may not be charging me 100 quid, but he's giving me this booklet. What am I going to do? In exactly the same way, superstition, the same analogy applies. When I get bad luck, what I should be saying is, what have I done wrong today? Did I lie? Did I backbite? Did I miss my salah? Did I not read the Quran? Did I, you know, not serve my parents? That's why I'm getting bad luck. But if, you know, you come along to me and say, oh Harun, you got bad luck because Kali Billi Rasta Kaat Gayi Thi. It's an easy way out for me, isn't it?
That's actually a practice of the scholars as well. The, you know, if they have a calamity, then they don't blame or they don't complain about the problem. But what they do, they cry in the court of Allah, they do Tawbah, they do Istighfar. Yeah. And they say that it's, maybe it's due to my sins. You can't say for 100%, yeah, but you have that feeling that maybe it's because of my sins I'm getting this punishment.
You know, there was that Buzurg Rahmatullah Alayhi who was walking along the road and somebody threw a load of rubbish over the top of them. And they smiled and carried on. And when they say, you know, the murid asked Hazrat, you know, somebody's thrown kura karkat on you. And he said, jo aag phenke jaane ke laik tha. Oh, yeah. I deserved for fire to be thrown on top of me, you know, the hot coals. This is just kura karkat. I'm lucky.
Allah.
And this is their way of thinking. So what you do is this superstition is an easy way out. What happens is this. I don't have to blame myself. I can blame the magpie or the cat or, you know, the akparkani or whatever, yeah? And I don't have to blame myself. That's the first thing. The second thing is, it doesn't require anything of me, does it? Because, I can blame it on something else. I can blame it on bad luck. And that's it, I can get back to my life. Whereas, if I did it in the Islamic way that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught, that Allah Hazrat taught, that Amir al-Sunnah tries to drill into us, that is this. That when you have this, don't blame your eye, don't blame the magpie. Apne amal durust kare. Increase your piety. Increase your, even if you're pious. Let's say you're reading them out 5 times a day, and you're reading your Quran, you're serving your parents, you're being nice, you're protecting your tongue. Even then, when a calamity falls, think, right, I've got to increase my durud-e pak. I've got to increase my nafil salah. I've got to get up for tahajjud. I've got to pray avabin and chashd and ishaq. That's the response that these walis of Allah
are giving us. Remember that story about the time of Hazrat Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab, where in the river Nile, you know, when the river used to dry up, every year they would throw a young girl. They used to dress her up and they used to throw her and kill her. You know, and because the water will start flowing again. You know, when the letter reached to Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that no, Islam doesn't believe in that. You know, and he wrote a letter to the river Nile. You know, as they say that this is the authority of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that even the river Nile, you know, accepts his letter. So he wrote a letter to the river Nile, you know, beautiful words that if you are flowing with the command of Allah, then keep flowing. And if you are not flowing with the command of Allah, we don't need your water. And the river started to flow. So that is what Islam is about.
And 1460 years have gone by, it's never stopped.
Hafsab, I'm going to take a good omen now, because there's two narrations in front of me, and I'm going to mention them, inshallah, with this intention that, because in front of me now, when we mention them in part of our discussion, we'll get blessings, inshallah, and we'll also benefit from them as well. With regards to the omens, our Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that when you feel jealousy, do not exceed limit. When you develop bad presumption, bad gumani, do not believe it. And when you take ill omen, get that work done and trust in Allah.
Subhanallah.
Similarly, in another narration, our beloved Prophet, Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reported to have said, 3 things will certainly remain in my ummah.
Subhanallah.
Bad omen, jealousy, and ill presumption.
Allahu
bad gumani. In this narration, it says that a blessed companion, a Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, asked in the court of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how can the person who has these three habits get rid of them? So if someone has any of these habits, what should you do? It was said, when you feel jealousy, do istighfar in the court of Allah.
Subhanallah.
When you have bad presumption, do not stick to it. And when you take bad omen, do that action.
Subhanallah.
So for example, you know, we were talking about you're going to work and a black cat will cross, you know, your way, or a person who's not well, is not normal, you know, who's disabled or someone, you know, is crippled, he comes in the way, or an elderly person comes in the way. And if these people think that that's a bad omen, then in that case, you know, rather than returning back home, now make sure you go to your work.
It's a very sad thing. Sorry, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it's like a funny, because these people who think they're 10 men, they think they're it, yeah, and they will challenge everything that you do and they'll try and justify their actions, and yet they are scared of a magpie, they are scared of a cat, they're you know, scared of their eye flickering, and so they are actually weak. And what it is a lack of iman. What they're being scared, what is it? What is this superstition? It's an irrational fear. That's what it is. When it boils down to it, it's an irrational fear that something bad will happen to me. That's what it is, isn't it? Well, it comes back to what you said. Let's analyze that. What the shaitan does is he doesn't let us analyze this. He likes us, like the, you know, the religions gone by, yeah, that had the corrupt beliefs. He likes to instill those beliefs and revive them time and time again. Why? Because if the corrupt and old beliefs die out, his business taps up, isn't it? So he wants to keep those beliefs going. So if certain people believe in these things, he wants to kind of revive it. So what he does is he comes to the Muslim, especially the Muslims. You know, these are the people who have faith in Allah Azza wa Jal. And these are the people who, you know, no matter where they are, you know, I think there was a waqia of Allah Hazrat when there was storm after storm after storm in the sea. And Allah Hazrat sat there, everybody's panicking. And Allah Hazrat sat there thinking, oh, don't worry, nothing will happen. And after, when all the storms subsided, and they came and said, Maulana, why is it that everybody was panicking? We thought we were going to die. These waves were huge. The storm was there. And you were sat there relaxed. He goes, because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that whoever reads this dua when they board a vessel, nothing will happen to them. I'd read the dua, so I knew nothing was going to happen to me. It's that confidence.
That's the belief that you need.
That's the belief that you need.
The tawakkul that people had in them, that, you know, regardless of what calamity they faced, they remained steadfast. You mentioned regarding the months. You know, unfortunately, there are people who have a similar concept of bad omen with regards to numbers, with regards to months,
days.
Yeah, I'll give you an example. Number 13. There are people in our society as well that they feel, or they believe that number 13 is an unlucky number.
Bad luck. Yeah?
There's many other numbers as well, but 13 is one of them. And as a coincidence, on my street, there's no number 13.
Is there no?
There are government, 13. You're talking about your street. I'm telling you, there are government buildings and hospitals in some states in the world, especially in America. Yeah. I know America, where they don't have a 13th floor.
13th floor.
Because of the superstition. Yeah. So in hospitals, you will not have a 13th floor. I mean, how bad does
13th
it get?
13th bed.
13th bed.
So your street doesn't have a number 13.
So obviously, as a youngster, I used to think, hey, where's number 13? Is there's number 11. The next one was meant to be 13 and 15. Mm-hmm. So it's 11 and it says 11A. And I used to think, what's all this about? And why is that different? Obviously now, you know, learning about Islam.
You thought there might be someone really special living in that house. Arumi, do you have number 13 in your street?
I don't know, but alhamdulillah, we are number 12.
Alhamdulillah. So with regards to the months though, especially as we are moving closer to the new Islamic year, then the second month in the Islamic calendar is Safar al-Muzaffar. Unfortunately, people from many cultures, you know, and I'm talking about Muslim cultures as well, they have this concept that the first 13 days of Safar and Muzaffar, they're very difficult, they're very challenging, there's going to be calamities on you. Then they have a special form of like excitement, so the activities they do, the rejoicing on the last Wednesday of this month, etc. They have their own belief system. But if you look at the reality, the fact is that Safar al-Muzaffar is a blessed month like any other month as well. Now, there are blessings in this month as well. I'll give you three incidents in the history of Islam that prove that there are blessings in this month. Number one, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Sayyidatuna Fatima to Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, both of them got married in the month of Safar.
SubhanAllah.
Now, a lot of people, you know, they don't get married because it's bad luck, because and here you go.
That's another reason for us. Those who are planning to get married and they're considering to not get married during the month, if they don't get married that month, it's a different thing. But if they don't marry because they think or they believe it's a bad omen, then I think in that case they should marry.
I know you've got a few more points, but just on that though, we believe that this date or this day may be a bad omen, but then we have all this music, all this dancing, we have all the corrupt beliefs and the rivaj from the idolaters. You know, we copy all these different religions and take in their customs and traditions in our weddings. We have these weddings where food is wasted, there's, you know, behayai and there's bepardagi. And then, what do? We then go and blame it on the day and the month when Allah and His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say that there's no such thing as a bad day and a bad month.
Similarly, Muslims were blessed with the victory of Khaybar, Fatah Khaybar, in the month of Safar al-Muzaffar. And Sayyiduna Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyiduna Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Sayyiduna Uthman bin Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhum, all these great Sahaba, these came in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the 8th of Safar al-Muzaffar and accepted Islam.
SubhanAllah. We have the Urs of Allah Hazrat on the 25th of Safar
al-Muzaffar as well.
Jee,
so, you know, if someone's watching this program and in their life or in your family culture, if you have a concept of bad omens, now please, you know, after listening to this discussion, at least now, do something to get rid of these bad habits.
You know, this is not just for the views of Madihan. This is not just, you know, us sat here from a Dawat Islami perspective saying, you know, that we should be staying away from this. When I was doing some research on this, it was quite funny because what generally the books say, and I've got it in front of me, superstition, and these beliefs, it's a belief resulting from ignorance. So this is not, I'm not talking about Islam here, I'm talking about generally. So generally, if you type it in and search it on the internet, it will tell you that this is an irrational fear. I'll read to you, honestly, it's amazing, because this helps you to contextualize it and exactly what it is. It's a false concept, an irrational fear, an abject attitude of the mind towards supernatural, resulting from ignorance, is what this is. So it's basically you are jahili hote. This is you know, this isn't an Islamic text I'm quoting. This is a general intellectual article, and it basically says that this is ignorance at its highest, because what you're doing is this. And from an Islamic point of view, the reason it's frowned upon, this is the bit to understand. What you should have is the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal and the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal is the fear that I don't want to be disobedient in his call. That's what the Almighty can say. At his greatest, the fear is, ki mera Rab naraz na ho jaye, I don't want to be disobedient. Now, what you've done is you've replaced that with a fear of the unnatural something out there, X, whatever it is. And you're thinking, patani yoga, voga, everything else, yeah? And what you're doing is you're putting the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal to the back, and you're putting the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal behind your back, and you're ignoring the fact that whatever befalls you, the glorious Quran tells you, is from Allah Azza wa Jal. If the whole world came together and tried to harm you, but Allah Azza wa Jal wanted to protect you, they couldn't do nothing. They couldn't damage you one iota. And if all the world wanted to benefit you, but Allah Azza wa Jal hadn't written that benefit for you, the whole world can try.
You know what sometimes does happen, Harun, but you know, I had this guy one day, and he goes, Kharish, you know, my hand, I'm constantly itching my left hand. When you lose your iman, dua karo, inshallah, but just to make yourself better, give sadaqah in the court of Allah, make dua, everything will be
better. No, but it won't go there.
It will happen. A few days later, he goes, Hafiz ji, bayas, you know, nuksan, gadi na accident ho gaya. Well, that was going to happen anyway, it's not because you were scratching your left hand.
Sometimes, you know, especially those people who have certain concepts of bad omens in their life, maybe because they've experienced it many times in their life, that this incident happened, because of this, you know, I've had that bad luck. You know, because of this thing happened, and on that occasion, this calamity befell on me. If this incident happened, because of this, something else happened to me. So that individual may think that, you know, I've had, you know, many experiences in my life, and they seem to be correlating.
Yeah? But the thing is,
here you need to realize that the problems or issues that you're having, or the because you're not being able to succeed in that particular work, because and you feel it's because it's a bad omen, maybe because of many other reasons why you're not being able to complete that task. If it's a journey, if it's any work that you want to do, if it's something you want to achieve, maybe there's other factors that are affecting this.
Another thing, Tofiq, amongst our children especially, is because we see this on telly, we see on cartoons, on videos, dramas, you know, ghosts, so-and-so was killed and he was buried in this graveyard. His ghost has come to haunt you. And because you see this all over the media, our children are watching cartoons, and this is where they get the idea of ghost, you know, so-and-so was murdered, his ghost is going to come and haunt you. All these kind of things, Muslims are starting to believe in that as well.
Basically, what happens, Afsab, is the shaitan is very clever. So what he doesn't do is take you into believing in the big harams straight away. So it'll start off with the cat, the bird, the this, the that, and gradually you'll start to fear those, then the akan, you'll live by it. So you know, you'll get up and you'll think, today's a Tuesday, Tuesday's always a bad day. It says then Kabi Ak, you know, is going as well. Today something's gonna happen, and you wait for it, and maybe as a test from Allah, you're expecting the worst to happen and something else happens, and you jump on it straight away. Look, I mean, I was speaking to a brother yesterday, and it's a matter of Madni Soch, isn't it? He was away and he got burgled, yeah? And, you know, somebody who goes back home, they're taking the TV, they're taking everything else. You can say, oh, a great calamity has hit me. And what we were discussing was exactly the opposite. We were saying, Alhamdulillah, Talan Shukrake, you know, this has happened. You know, at least you weren't at home. At least they were only taking a few things. They didn't take this, they didn't take that. And the children weren't at home. Alhamdulillah, it's only a few £100. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, Allah Talan Shukrake, they don't damage anything. All your clothes are still there. Everything's still there. They're just taking a few items, yeah. And we were being thankful that, you know, he'd been burgled, but he'd been burgled and he'd saved a lot of things. Good, she's on Bajgiyan. And he was thanking. I thought, look at the search. Somebody else could have been head in hands crying, shouting, screaming, and at that stage. But it's all about the mindset.
It's all about how you perceive something. No, that's a beautiful example that Harumba just gave. That, you know, whenever you face a calamity or a trouble, you should always look at the bigger calamity that you have been protected from. For example, in that case, you know, regarding, you know, you had a loss in that house, but at least the house was saved. You know, the whole house didn't go on fire. Yeah, at least you know you as a family, you know, you were saved. What if you were there? What if something happened to your life? Anything could have happened. Well, Alhamdulillah, you were saved. Similarly, someone became paralyzed, for example. Yeah, you know, his hand has stopped functioning. Yeah, now that's a massive issue. There's a massive problem. Only those who understand the value of the hands, you know, those who don't have the hands. Yeah, who don't have the hands moving around properly. But even then, if you look at these people, what they do, they still thank Allah Almighty because they still have another hand.
Subhanallah. Yeah?
Those who don't have two hands, they still thank Allah, at least I've got my legs. Those who don't have legs, they still say, Alhamdulillah, I still have tongue, like still do dhikr of Allah. No, we should always look forward, you know, to like find an excuse to thank Allah Almighty.
You know, we've got,
because whenever a calamity faces of befalls on a Muslim, there's always reasons behind that. There's blessings in it. But it all depends on how you perceive it. If you're on the first sadama, on the first moment of shock, the shock, that how you react to it. If you do sabr, if you have patience, inshallah, you will have so much ajr, inshallah.
You know, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has allowed good omens. Good omens you're supposed to take. It's the bad omens that you're supposed to avoid. And coming back to our topic, I don't know if that's where you wanted to go next. I wanted to kind of come back on something which was very interesting, because a lot of this, Hafizab, of these omens, it's actually a basic misunderstanding or a basic weakness in our belief. The reason being this: as Muslims, we believe that Allah Azza wa Jal has preordained everything that's going to happen. Allah Ta'ala knows it by His will, right? So the glorious Quran says, no calamity befalls on the earth or in yourselves, but is inscribed in the book of decrees before we bring it into existence.
Law.
So the pens have been lifted, the ink has dried, everything is there, it's written, and that is going to happen. Now, if something was meant to befall you, you can't escape it. If something was meant to, you know, you do, you don't just sit at home and say, well, Allah Ta'ala rizq dene wala hai, therefore he's going to feed me. You go out and you do minute, you try, you strive, mm-hmm. you try and do your best. But when you've done your best and it still happens, then you say, that was the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, this is our fundamental belief. Yeah? Allah Azza wa Jal is the control of everything. Now what the shaitan does is brings in these beliefs and replaces that trust in Allah with this corrupt belief. And we go along with it. So instead of saying, I had what you mentioned earlier, I had the car accident because Miri Kismet said, but I'm lucky, Allah Ta'ala, I've survived, I walked away from it. Many people get injured in accidents, many people die. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, whatever comes from Allah is best for me. Instead of doing that, oh gee, 3 days ago, that black cat went in front of me, and that's it, that's why I've had the car accident. And now, so the next time it happens, he's created his own self-belief. And what it is this. This is to understand it deeply. Insan, as human beings, we work to certain rules and parameters. Yeah? So if you left human beings in a separate society, just by themselves, gradually over time, they would build rules for themselves. And that's what happens all over the world. They build their own sets of morals. So what morally might be correct in one culture is actually corrupt in another, and vice versa. So you have all these cultures all over the world who have their own standards of belief. You know, and you go to some parts of the world and they'll be doing things. You think, how are they doing this? And you go to other parts of the world and it's acceptable. Why? Because where have they got their standard from? They have got it from their own intellect. So when the shaitan comes along and says, you know, if a star falls or your star sign is in this, it means this, they will accept it. What Islam did, the beauty of Islam and the amazing thing about Islam was it drew a line under all of this and said, no, all this is complete rubbish. None of it means anything. Put your trust, not in all these things, put your trust and your belief in Allah and His beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it replaced all of these superstitions.
One of the problems with those people who believe in bad omens is that this mindset overpowers their inner power, inner control. What happens? They start considering everything as unlucky. Huh? And they look out for these things and mm-hmm. they develop that type of mindset to the level that even from the Quran, where they will look at the Quran and sometimes take bad omens from that as well. Yeah, the scholar he mentions that some people, they open the Quran and wherever their eyes gaze at the beginning, they look at the ayat, they look at the translation, and if that translation or the meaning of the verse, it refers to some type of punishment or towards the description of hell or some hardship that has happened in the past, etc., then they will take that as a bad omen. Astaghfirullah. That's the problem that people have.
Any things you can mention that is happening in our society right now? You know, we've talked about, mashallah, so there are a lot of
things. Even as bad omens.
What happens in our society?
There's loads of examples. You know, when you look
let's
at the
try
list,
to give a few examples for the people.
For example, some people, when they hear the sound of ambulance, they hear the sound of the fire brigade, they look at that as negative as well, as bad omen. Sometimes, what they do, so, you know, once you've had some guests in your house and they've gone now, as soon as they leave, and if you sweep at home, you do some hoovering, they will look at that as bad omen as well. Mm-hmm. And some people, when they take their shoes off, and if they place one shoe on top of the other one, they will take that as a bad omen as well. And not just that, I think Harun Bhai mentioned earlier on a few times regarding the right eye twitching. Yeah, you know, blinking or whatever you want to call it, or
prickling. Parking,
as they said, Eid. If it falls on Friday, we normally get happy, but there are people who have this feeling that if Eid falls on Friday, then that means that this is going to become difficult for the government. Yeah. So every bad omen that they have a concept behind it.
I've never understood, because in a khutbah, you praise Allah Azza wa Jalla and His beloved Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You mentioned the Khulafa'i Rashidin. It's all good. It's blessings.
Yeah. What they mean is that because you go khutbah and you have to pay the Imam Sahib a bit extra for Jummah as well. So
So more examples are in our modern day-to-day life that we see. The crying of a cat that we mentioned earlier. That was a crossing of the cat, but the crying of the cat.
I was stood with somebody. Sorry, to interrupt. Just on that, I was stood with somebody, and a cat kind of shrieked. You know, they made that sound. And the guy's face changed, and he goes, "Oh, I had the nest on that." You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I thought, "Huh? What was that one? That's a new one. I didn't know about that."
Crying of a dog. Similarly, if you're a shopkeeper and the first customer that came to you, he just looked around, window shopping, and he didn't buy anything. And that, they take it as bad omen.
Oh, if he doesn't pay the argan talayajara, pehla ga gaya ho jara.
And not just that, sometimes it gets very serious. For example, if someone they got newly married, and the bride came to this new house now, and it was only the first few days that she's come to this house, and someone passed away in that family. Yeah, they will blame that daughter, girl, that it's because of her.
Isn't that almost going back to the time that pre-Nabiya Kareem sallallahu jahiliyat dor, before Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave light to the world? This is what they were used to say, you know, daughters were a bad omen, and this was a bad omen, and don't do this. And we're almost going back to that, and then the Muslims are going back to that.
But if someone is expecting a baby, you know, a woman, and during that period, they received a guest, but that lady, she had a baby boy or a baby girl with her, and if there was some defect in that child, if there was illness or problem with that child, they take that as a bad omen as well. That they think that now that's going to happen to my daughter, that's going to be the child that I'm going to give birth to, is going to happen to that as well. Now, these things exist in our society.
Yes, another thing,
the list I could carry on. The problem is, these things, the lists, you know, there's so many things that we could talk about, but I think we have to put an end to them. There's another one, that if someone had a scissors in his hand and he was just moving it back and forth, and he was trying to cut something, but there's no object to cut. And he's just there playing with it, they take that as a bad omen, and they believe that now this is a sign that there's going to be a quarrel in our family, there's going to be a problem, there's going to be some type of violence in our family.
Yeah, another thing is that if there's a child and someone walks over him, he's not going to cut any karan gaya.
Yeah.
So you've got to return back.
There's two of them. One is that if someone walked under someone's legs, you know, went under, or someone walked over a child, that child won't really grow. There's another one, that if a child or someone was sleeping and someone walked over him, they take
he's
that as that person won't increase weight in his life. No, he's going to become very weak.
Is that the new diet plan? You make millions if that works.
There's so many of them. You think, what's going on?
The thing is, the essence is, from what you've described, is it's pure stupidity. That's what it is, because you cannot reconcile all of those things that you've mentioned, because they're all over the place. And what it came back to is that the definition that I took from the internet, which said it's basically ignorance at its extreme, and that's what it is. It's the shaitan making a mockery out of you and saying that's bad luck, or that's red, that's bad luck, or that's there, and it just makes a fool out of you.
The problem is that you will find people who are well educated, you know, who are well, you know, they have a high, like a status rank in the society. Even them people, you know, they have that type of mindset as well. So I think it's time that, you know, we go back to our roots, to the teachings of Islam. And, you know, whatever we do in our life, let's have a quick check and balance in our place. You know, if there's something you don't understand, refer back, you know, or divert back to the scholars. Ask them the questions. That's another problem that we have in our society. We don't ask questions.
You know, one thing that is very interesting is, with all of these, some brothers might be listening and saying, well, you know, I keep saying, this is the shaitan. Is it really? But let me ask you this question. When all this superstition happens, for example, Kali Billi comes across you, you see the magpies, do you say, okay, main wuzu karke do nafil padna? You don't, do you? if there was anything genuinely there, you would turn towards Allah and His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'll get the tasbih, and you know, when you're doing the zikr, you're in the protection of Allah. You never do that. Why? Because these are all shaitani things. These are all satanic whispers. And therefore, he wants to, if he thinks, right, for one moment, that you are going to lay down the prayer mat and prostrate in the court of Allah, he will never let you go down the street.
The question is, you know, we've discussed on this topic, but there are many things such as bad omens that happen in our society, they happen in our household, they take place in our own personality, but who's going to change them?
Gee.
Now, are we just going to hear them and just, you know, just do like a pass by, ignore it, blanket? No, we need to move forward.
Gee.
Yeah, you know, rather than being stuck in the same place, you know, where you were 10 years ago, no way, you're not going to get anywhere.
One of the reasons is, Tawfiq, is because of lack of Islamic education. You know, we're not learning and we're not educating ourselves in the deen. That is why we fall trap of the shaitan and start to believe in these kind of things. Because if we had that Islamic, we're from the same, you know, background and everything, but why are we talking about this? It's because we've learned it.
Yeah.
You know, alhamdulillah, there's a very beautiful booklet. It's called Bad Omens,
yeah.
You know, Bad Shuguni. So read that and inshallah Azzawajal, you'll find out, you know, what is right to believe and what isn't right to believe.
Something else that's come to our mind.
Gee.
Like in our society, we find people who are extreme in believing the bad omens.
Gee.
And then there are people who negate it. They refute the bad omens, but to the level that they refute the good omens as well.
Gee.
You know, anything good happens, you know, we take that as blessings. They don't have that concept. No, and that's something that we need to keep in mind. No, we have to keep that balance. Yeah, we can't say that's wrong, you know, just because you feel it's wrong. You know, it's wrong because in Islam it's wrong. Because Allah and His Rasul, Azza wa Jalla wa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, have made it clear to us that this is wrong. Yeah, with something which is halal, something which is permissible in Islam, no one on the earth can say that that's not allowed.
Yeah.
That's a very important principle that we need to keep in mind.
A summary of this topic is this. When you believe in something in superstition, it's basically an affair that you're afraid of. Something bad will happen, something else will happen. And I think really, we've mentioned trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla.
Yeah.
I think that there's nothing better to put it than this. I am a bad guy, Surah Ahzab. And rely upon Allah. And sufficient is Allah as disposer of affairs.
Yes.
Whatever it is. In the world, if you rely upon Allah Azza wa Jal, put your trust in Allah Azza wa Jal, you don't need to scare yourself and have this fear and apprehension. Just believe. And anything you think, as soon as shaitan gives you that waswasa, just think, I believe in Allah. And just think about the neki and the swab you get.
Masha'Allah.
And then you're asking for the protection of the creator of the heavens and the earth. What can this superstition do? Nothing. Nothing. Allah Azza wa Jal will protect
Allah khaira, mashallah, beautifully put. We're at the end of our time. We're hopefully, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, see you next week, same time, same place. Please take care of yourself. Sallu ala al-Habib.
Sallallahu ta'ala
ala
Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right. Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right.